Tell you to get my Skype
Log
going.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex. It's time.
Total Dudes with Sci-Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total divas show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the Bo Jackson to my Brian the Boz Bosworth. So remember fondly on two failed men. And welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, and for the record, I still have a Brian Bosworth long sleeve t-shirt hanging in my closet.
He played up there, didn't he?
I believe so. I believe he was given a rather substantial contract, and then all the stores around the city said, here's a bunch of free stuff so you don't have to use any of the money off your contract.
There's an excellent ESPN 30 for 30 on him if you haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Sign Guy?
I have not, but I did read his autobiography and I watched the movie Stone Cold in which he starred.
That's an excellent movie. Excellent. So, Sign Guy, we got the Skype going. It took me a minute, but we got it, brother. How's it sound? Am I good? Am I clear?
I can hear you.
We got it going again. I listened to the show from last week, and that Skype, it sounds like I'm right there.
Well, you are right there.
All right, where?
There.
Down there.
Possibly.
All right. So I'm pretty happy about the Skype. It's worked pretty well last week. Let's talk about next week, though. Let's get into that. We got to talk about next week. Is next week still happening, Sign Guy?
To my knowledge, that's the word on the street still.
Well, break the news, these geeks. Let's get it out of the way to start. This is important to me.
Well, next week, special day and time, because we have to accommodate the guest, but next Thursday for episode 45, I believe, we have Brian's buddy pal, Craig.
Craig? From the Brian and Vinny and Craig show?
Yes, that is the one and only.
I listen to it weekly. I fall asleep every single night of my life listening to old episodes of Brian and Vinny. And an interesting thing happened recently. I'm not sure. It was an episode from 2011, probably June, July. I'm not sure when. And Craig Proper was on there hyping up the T-shirts he was getting made for the Figure Four store. And he was talking about a podcast he did at the time with Ed from San Antonio that was on Blog Talk. And Craig Proper, he says, "Oh, God, I hate Blog Talk." So how will Craig feel about returning to Blog Talk?
Well, I don't know if he'll enjoy that particular aspect or not, but he is a fan of the concept of Total Dudes. He's
really
extremely excited, especially to portray some total dialogue.
How did you get in touch with Craig? Are you email buddies?
Well, I just hit him up on the big book of faces, but I know Craig. Yeah, we run into each other from time to time.
Yes. Yes, sir. I love Craig when he's on the Brian and Vinny show. He's always a delight. So next week should be exciting as long as Craig shows up. His deep, dulcet tones will be a delight on the show, don't you think?
I think so, and I always enjoy it when I'm standing in line waiting on a book signing to happen, and I hear, "Are you guys just not going to talk to me at all?" And I turn around, and there, it's always Craig, always Craig.
Craig Proper. Well, I will ask him his 2016 opinions on Blog Talk Radio, because I know his 2011 opinions, so I'm quite interested to find out about that.
You know, it was a different animal in 2011 than it is in 2015.
It still kind of sucks, but what can you do? If you want to do a live podcast, this is the way you do it, really.
Pretty much.
Like, I wish there was a way to make it sound better. And I'm always trying. I'm always fighting.
No, they tried the high definition, and we went down that arduous journey of a nightmare. I said, "Take me off the high definition, because that was horrible."
Well, we're trying.
Granted, it was only a test. They were testing it. And they were like, "Hey, we could grandfather you in. You'll never have to pay for it." And I said, "Well, that sounds fair." And then nothing but problems. Nothing but problems. And I said, "Take me off of that."
Bad news. What is wrong with those people?
Well, I don't know.
So, sign guy, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler?
Well, the scuttlebutt is the Razor Ramones broke up when Sean Critney dressed up like a total diva and Alomar reenacted the final episode of Night Court and went to a different planet like Bull Shannon.
We didn't break up.
It was on your social media. There's no more official word on anything than that.
Well, let me tell you, it was not on our social media. On our social media, it was specifically stated we had to cancel our show due to myself having an ear infection that had started bleeding. And then on some other thing, some page, someone said we had dropped off the show because we broke up. I don't know. I'm not sure who that someone was, but someone said we broke up, and it was not true. Whoever
I'm pretty
said
sure
that,
it said that your ears were a blessing, so I figured it was some sort of religious thing with your ear.
Blessing? I'm going to look right now. I'm pretty sure it said bleeding.
Yeah, I would have remembered that.
Did you see that new logo we got made? Describe it for the listeners, that new logo. Oh, man.
Well, I didn't
logo.
Really pay much attention to it because I was like, well, they broke up. What's the point of having a logo?
Oh, man. Do you want me to describe it to them?
Yes.
Okay. Now, imagine in your life, I did say bleasing. You're right. Huh. I misspell a lot of things when I'm on my phone. All right, but this logo. imagine, if you will, that there is a professional wrestling organization. Let's say they were in Japan, and they might be fairly new. A new Japan wrestling organization. And they might have a logo with, you know, a lion in it, and it might say, like, the King of Wrestling, this new Japan wrestling organization. Well, I thought of that, and I thought, what if we were to take that logo that doesn't exist, to my knowledge, and we make it, and it says Kings of Pop Punk across the top, and then on the bottom, where it might say New Japan Wrestling Organization, the new one, instead now it says the Razor Ramones. And on this lion, let's say we put some Wayfarer Ray-Bans on him. So that's what it looks like. So what do you think about that, sign guy?
Sounds very Japanesey.
Pretty new, too. Sounds pretty new, Japanesey. I already ordered buttons of it, so the buttons will be here soon, and then there will be shirts made of that. I'm thinking if this company that exists, that doesn't really exist, this new Japan wrestling organization, I'd like to think if they were to make shirts of this, they would be like those Raglan baseball-style tees with red sleeves. So I'd like to get those made, but those cost a lot of money, so I don't know if we'll make those.
Oh. Now, are you saying that you'll be wearing these on stage and Sean Critney, in fact, will not be wearing a bikini top and red booty shorts with the number 02 on them?
Listen, Scrutiny can live his life how he feels he needs to live his life. If that's what makes him happy, I would never stop him from it. However, though, the band does have a dress code they all have to follow, and if they don't, they get fined.
So which is it? Because you just contradicted yourself.
Hey, he can wear his booty shorts and his bikini top all day, every day of his life. I have no problem with it. I support him in whatever he chooses. But the second we step on stage, he's got to put some sort of stupid wrestling shirt over that bikini top. He's got to grab his Levi's 513s, slide them up over those booty shorts, and thrust on that leather jacket and act like an adult.
Wow, that's kind of strict.
It is strict. Everything I do is strict. This band's not a joke. There is nothing funny or remotely not serious about this band. It's the most serious thing I've ever had in my heart. I take every minute detail of it is just inspected by myself, and I go over it with a fine tooth comb. Everything that we do from the moment you see us has been plotted and planned by me. And if it isn't done right, then you thought Buddy Rich got loud at his band finding it. You thought James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, was rough for finding his band when they'd mess up. That was only $50 to mess up. I'm finding these geeks $300 if they do something wrong.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is that because Alomar can bench press 300 pounds?
No, Alomar couldn't bench 300 pounds. There's not a chance.
There's always a chance. What if he went on the juice?
Nope. Mm-mm.
What are you thinking he can max out at?
Alomar? What could Alomar max out at? Let's see. Are we talking trick plates, or are we talking real iron?
A trick plate, and then a real plate, then a trick plate, then a real plate, then a trick plate.
A trick plate, then a real plate, then a trick plate, then a real plate, then a trick plate. All right, I think he could probably have, let's see, the real plate would be about a 10. The trick plate would weigh about 1 pound, so that's 11. And then the real plate, he'd toss a 5 there. And then the trick plate, and then a real plate, and a trick plate. Okay, so I think he could get about 30 pounds on each side, so that'd be about 60. He could probably bench 105.
That's almost 300 pounds.
It's on the way to 300 pounds. We can't disagree with that. How much, here's the more important question, how much do you think QT Vokes could bench press? No trick plates.
Oh, just the bar.
The bar?
He would struggle with that.
Yeah, it would look like some wacky, like, Goofy cartoon where Goofy's like, oh, gosh, I can't get the bar, and the bar's choking him.
It'd be like this lopsided thing where the bar would go vertical.
Yeah.
And he'd be like holding it like a javelin, but he would still be struggling to hold it in place. He'd be shaking.
Do you hear music from somewhere?
No.
I have music coming from somewhere. I don't know where, and it's terrifying me. Oh, it's so loud.
I'm going to guess it's coming from your neighbor's upstairs bedroom.
No, it's coming from my computer somewhere.
I'm going to guess from the speakers.
Oh, I don't know. I got headphones on, so I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from, but that was terrifying. Oh.
More terrifying than the fact that Ken Griffey Jr. was voted into the Hall of Fame with the largest percentage ever in history after he wrecked the Reds for 8 years, just totally obliterated the Reds. He's like, I have to play for the Reds. It's my only dream in my whole life. Have to go to my hometown team. He got there. He's like, ow, my hamstring. Ow, my elbow. Ow, my groin. Ow, my ankle. Ow, my knee. Every couple of weeks, he had a new injury. He was out for 6, 7, 8 months. He's like, I'll be healthy next time. He'd go up to bat, and then boom, there's an injury.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yes.
Remember when his upper deck card was the most valuable card going? Remember that?
Yeah, I do. And these fans in Seattle, they're like, oh, finally we have a Mariner in the Hall of Fame, and it's a huge day because he's always been a Mariner no matter what, and he's always wanted to be a Mariner, when very, very clearly throughout his entire career, after the trade to Cincinnati, he made it perfectly clear.
Mm.
He didn't like Seattle. Never wanted to be here. Didn't like the city.
Yeah,
yes,
nobody likes Seattle.
That's not true. Ask Gary Payton. But, yeah, he made it clear he hated Seattle, but they ignore that. They're like, oh, maybe he was kidding for 8 years. He was not. And then when they bring him back to Seattle, they're like, he'll be the savior. He'll turn the franchise around because he won't get hurt anymore. Out, my hamstring. Out, my quad. Out, my thumb.
Now.
And then, to top it all off, he falls asleep in the clubhouse when they want him to go to bat. They're like, where's Junior at? And they're like, oh, yeah, he's sleeping in the clubhouse. He couldn't stay up past 4 o'clock. Game went too long.
Have you ever been to the Reds Bar and Grill at Kings Island?
No.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, why don't you take me there?
I wish I did. I wish I was at Kings Island right now, but it's closed. The thing about it, that place has the cheapest beer in all of Kings Island. So, a tip for you Midwestern listeners. They often do half-price beer if a Reds game is on, even. I got kicked out of that place, surprisingly.
Was it because you were wearing a Cardinals jersey?
I don't care about baseball, no. I was in there with my wife, and we'd had a few drinks, me and my wife, and
Why didn't you say it twice?
My wife, because I said it in the funny way the first time because I was thinking about it. But regardless, speaking of, have you seen Borat? That's a good movie.
No.
Oh, that's a good movie. You should watch Borat this weekend, sign guy. Just a tip. But we were in the Reds Bar and Grill. We'd been at Kings Island for a little while. We'd been riding some coasters, having some drinks, having a good old time, as one is wont to do when they go to the Isle of Kings. So we go in there because we went and watched the Pacers game. There was a playoff game happening. So we got them. It's like, it's your typical sports bar. So they turned one of the TVs on for us, and we're watching it. And I'm like, getting into it. I start cheering, yeah! And then I'm like, hey, can I get another drink? And she's like, why don't you wait till you finish that one? I'm like, okay, I guess. I'm almost done. And so then I finished that, and I'm like, hey, can I get another drink? She's like, actually, our manager says you're cut off and you guys have to leave. I'm like, why? Like, well, you guys were being loud. I'm like, yeah, we're watching our basketball team win a playoff game. This is a sports bar. Like, well, he thought you were inebriated. I'm like, I think you're an idiot. And so that was the story of when I got kicked out of the Reds Bar and Grill at Kings Island.
I have been to the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum.
Yes.
That's got to be the happiest place on earth.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. It's not,
yep.
Disney World.
That's why I said happiest place.
What?
But we'll get into that later.
The Cincinnati Reds, they are a baseball team, right?
Yes.
And what have they ever won?
The World Series, the pennant, the hearts, and the imaginations of millions.
Now, this was in the 1950s, correct?
From the 1860s onward.
So, is the best Red ever Chris Sabo?
No, he's not even the best third baseman, but he's extremely good.
What about Barry Larkin?
Best Red ever? I put him very high on my list. He was my favorite Red for the majority of his career.
Oh,
put him ahead of Concepcion as best shortstop.
I thought he played for the Cardinals. I was making a joke. I thought he played for the Cardinals. I was making a joke. I was thinking of Ozzie Smith.
Wow. Barry Larkin was a Red. He came up in the Pete Rose era. He got to play a season with Pete Rose as a teammate / manager.
Huh.
Played his entire career with the Reds.
What about, who's another great, Curt Schilling?
Curt Schilling was never a Red. He was a Red Sox. You're going to have to ask Kevin Sullivan about that.
What about, who was that pitcher that they had that was like a real dickhead? What was that guy's name?
That could be a few different people. Were you thinking of Jose Rio?
I was not. It was a guy like Curt Schilling. He was a real mullety guy.
Norm Charlton?
It might be Norm Charlton, actually.
Yeah, he's up here now. He retired as a Mariner, and he just stuck around the Sound.
So he did the opposite of the Griffey Jr.
Well, Griffey Jr. finished his career here because he just just didn't show up for work one day when the Mariners brought him back. Mm. And then he's like, oh, well, I'll just go from Everett down to Tacoma, hit all your teams in the minor leagues. I'll walk in and say, yeah, choke up on your bat, and you can give me like $35,000, $40,000 a day for that. And they're like, that's great. We'll do that. Because apparently they're suckers.
Well, enough about the sport nobody likes. Let's talk a little bit about wrestling for a minute. Because wrestling gets such great ratings and is so beloved. There's a lot of stuff coming up, Sign Guy. This Friday night I'm going to the IWA Mid-South show with my wife. We're going...
say it twice.
My wife. Hey, but more importantly than saying my wife twice, there's a show happening there. Did you know that?
At IWA Mid-South?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know they were having a show?
Yeah. Yeah, they have Joseph Schwartz in the main event.
Against?
Billy Gunn.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Oh, and then I'm more excited for my breakout star of 2015. John Wayne Murdoch versus Sammy Callahan. Oh, shit. That's going to be awesome.
Now, if you get the chance, could you ask Joseph Schwartz if he ever hit anyone with a dreidel? He'll know what it means.
That's pretty racist.
Not really, because we asked him this question on Turnbuckle his first time ever being on the show, and then he put the idea over as the greatest idea ever. And the next time we had him on Turnbuckle, he's like, oh, I'd forgotten all about it. I'll try to do that. But then he kind of phased out the Jewish part of his gimmick.
Yeah, he kind of has. That's kind of letting his people down, really.
Yeah, so that's why I want to know if he ever got to use the idea before he wrapped up the Jewish portion of the gimmick. It's up to you to find out.
I'll try. I gotta interact with Slade Sludge. Have you seen any Slade Sludge? Sloppy Slade Sludge?
I have not.
Oh, man, he's my new favorite. He is excellent.
What happened to Dalton Castle?
I never liked Dalton Castle, but
yeah, it was the only wrestler you ever loved.
I never liked him. But speaking of Dalton Castle, it looks like I'm going to be going to the Ring of Honor show next Friday with Zane Pazazzli. And Dalton Castle will be there.
With Zane Paisley?
Yes.
Very interesting.
So we
now,
Ring
speaking
of
Zane Paisley, he will also be at a show Sunday where in attendance will be Beast and Mini Beast.
Not Son of Beast, Mini Beast.
He is the Son of Beast.
No, yes, he is.
Can provide you with the birth certificate if that's what it takes to convince you of that.
He is a son, lowercase, of Beast. He is not the son, uppercase, of Beast.
He might be.
He is not.
He might be.
Nope, I've looked up the copyrights. He is not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. I've seen the birth certificate. But they will be there watching for the first time in person Mini Beast's very favorite professional wrestler, Buddy Highway, who is making his Indiana debut.
I thought his favorite wrestler was Mr. Anderson.
Nope, it's Buddy Highway.
Anderson.
He made that abundantly clear. Nope, it's Buddy Highway.
Anderson.
Nope. Why do you think he walks around wearing a Buddy Highway tie and bandana? It's not because Mr. Anderson wears it.
I've seen Mini Beast upwards of 3 times over the last couple weeks, and he never had on that. So, but you know what he did? He had a microphone drop down from the ceiling every time I saw him.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
This little child was standing there, and then he held his hand up, and we were like, what the fuck is this kid doing? And then this microphone would drop in, and he would say, Mini Beast. It was pretty great.
Huh.
Now, there's been a lot more wrestling happen. Did you watch the Impact debut on Pop last night?
I did.
Do you get Pop?
Yeah, I understand it. It used to be the TV guy channel, and they've rebranded. I understood.
Those of us on the U-verse dime, we don't get it.
Well, see, it used to be the TV Guide channel, and they would show you all the channels and what would be airing at what time, and then on the upper half of the screen, they would air reruns of classic television shows or a daytime soap opera. Then they rebranded, and they took away the TV listings, and now it's just classic television programming with a smattering of original programming and daytime soap operas aired in the evening. Do you understand it now?
Oh, I know what it is. We don't get it.
They used to be the TV Guide channel. There's like all the channels. And it would tell you the times and the shows that were on while you watched the upper half of the screen. But now they rebranded and they took away the TV listing part. Do you get it now?
Yeah, it's not available on U-verse.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I found it. I found an illegal stream. I watched it. So what did you think of the show? Did you like anything?
I thought it was, I'd say average. Nothing really spectacular, but I thought it was average.
It was their debut show on a new channel, and I think I would guess, if I were to guess, bare minimum, an hour and a half of that show is devoted to guys talking about things. Anyone who might be turning in for the first time wouldn't understand it all. Do you think that's a fair estimation? Like, who the fuck
is
he
like?
Yeah, I think
more people would get it.
No. Who the fuck is Eli Drake? I am a Wrestling Observer subscriber. I read lots of stuff on the internet. I've never heard of this fucking Eli Drake guy who stomped out there like he was someone important. Who the fuck is Eli Drake?
He was one third of the Rising. And then
the Rising
was Drew Galloway's group that would try to bring professional wrestling back to professional wrestling by wearing blue jeans in their matches. And then when they lost the rights to be a group to the Beatdown Clan and had to go their separate ways, Eli Drake was angry over that, and he attacked Drew Galloway, and they've been feuding off and on ever since.
Rob Dibble. Rob Dibble is who I was thinking of earlier.
Yeah, he was a psychopath.
Yeah, a real dickhead. That's what I said. Yeah, it was Rob Dibble. There you go. Okay, but let's get back onto this Impact. So I watched.
He was one of the nasty boys, though.
Yeah, Rob Dibble. That's who I was thinking of. This Impact show, it was not good.
I'd say it was average. There were things I liked, things I was like, eh.
I'd rather watch Raw, and I hate Raw.
But you hate everything, to be fair.
That's not fair at all. I love Wrestling Kingdom. Did you watch it?
I have not.
You haven't watched Wrestle Kingdom 10 yet?
I have not yet.
Sign guy. Do you need my login for New Japan Network? I'll give it to you.
All right.
You need to watch it. That show. I stayed up because I didn't have to go back to work till Tuesday. So I said, I'm going to stay up and watch this late-ass Sunday night thing. It started at, what time? 3 a.m. our time, technically. And I stayed up till 6:30 a.m. watching it. And then it got to Tanahashi Okada, and I was like, there's no way I can watch an hour-long match at this time of the day. But, my God, Shibata Ishii came on, and it got... They did these headbutts that were unbelievably brutal. And then they ran and headbutted each other like two goddamn, like the two dumbest Rams. Like Rams that are so dumb. Like most Rams would just kind of click each other. These would be like if two dumbass Rams decided to go, 100 feet away from each other, charge as hard as they could, and just bash their fucking heads together. These two fucking guys did that, and it was disgusting. I don't know. I loved it. And then, of course, everyone's been raving about the two, the AJ Nakamura match, which was unbelievable, and the Okada Tanahashi match, which I still haven't watched because I haven't had time. But I know it was great. I don't need to see it, but I'll watch it soon. So, good show. Anything else happening in wrestling? What's going on in NWA Blue Collar?
Well, we had to cancel the last show due to inclement weather.
Mm-hmm.
But this coming Sunday, NWA legend Chris Youngblood is making his way to NWA Blue Collar.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. Anything else about it?
The faction going to be facing the Moonshiners, and many more of your favorite NWA Blue Collar stars will be there, except for Bad Blood and Buddy Highway, who will be in Indianapolis.
Excellent. Let's think. What else is going on? How are the Celtics doing? I haven't noticed lately.
They're right there. They were, I believe, a game and a half out the other day when I checked the standings.
Let me take a look here. The standings, Eastern Conference.
Look for the Atlantic Division.
I'm just looking at the full... Oh, Pacers are in sixth place, and the Celtics are in seventh place. Huh. It's crazy that the Pacers are better than the Celtics, though not really.
Yeah, not really. They're basically equal.
No, they're not basically
Except
equal. You think 6 and 7 are the same number?
They're not the same number, but if you look, the Celtics are closer to their division than the Pacers are to their division, even though the record's pretty close to equal.
No. Conference.
Yes, it is.
Pacers are 14-7. The Celtics are 14-10. So in conference, which is what matters, the Celtics are far worse.
Are you saying the world champions are determined in their playoff spots, which are assigned by conference records? That is
now,
not how it works.
Regardless of that, Pacers are better. We learned that for a fact. Let's take a look at the Big Ten Let's look at Big Ten basketball standings. Let's take a look at those, because I just wonder what's happening there. How's Purdue been, the number one team in the nation?
They've been doing fairly well this season.
Fairly well. How have they fared in their Big Ten play?
All right. They've won some, lost some.
They won some, lost some, but they're the number one team in the nation.
You admit it.
No, I don't.
You just
you
did.
Said this. I don't admit anything.
Heard you say it. It's on record. I could have Zane Paisley make a meme with the bubble coming out of your mouth proclaiming
it. He would never do that. He would never do that. But let's take a look.
He'd do it for a fruit pie.
I'm looking at the standings in the Big Ten, and the number one team in the Big Ten, 3-0, it says Indiana. Does that mean Purdue? Or why does it say Indiana is the top team in the Big Ten?
I don't know. Why does it say TCU is the top team in the Big 12?
I'm not looking at that. We're looking at the Big Ten.
Well, it's a question anyway.
Let's answer this question first. Why does it say Indiana is the best team in the Big Ten?
Because that's the only paper you would buy if they printed that.
The only paper I would buy is the Big Ten.
Yeah, if they printed that, you'd be like, I'll buy that paper.
This isn't a paper. It's the Big Ten's own website.
Yeah, that's the only way you would log into that.
Indiana, 3-0. Huh. Purdue, 1-1? Huh. Purdue and IU almost have identical records, and I thought Purdue was so much better. Huh.
See? You admit it.
You know, I thought it, but now that I'm looking, they aren't.
Too bad you already stated it. You can't take it back now.
You can try to twist my words however you want, but the Indiana Hoosiers are the best team in the Big Ten right now, brother, and that is 100% fact. The Indiana Hoosiers are number one in the Big Ten. Boom. You can suck on that, Purdue, because you can't even beat dumbass Iowa. Boom.
So after the season finished the other day, after their three games, does that mean like the championship's already been awarded?
No, I'm just saying
So it's an ongoing process.
It is, and in this ongoing process, the Indiana Hoosiers are 13-3, and 3-0 in the Big Ten, and the Purdue Boilermakers are 13-2, 1-1 in the Big Ten.
So what you're saying is Purdue has a better overall record.
Well, one of the teams has an 8-game win streak, and one of the games has a 1-game lose streak. I don't know. One of the teams is really hot, and one of the teams is really not.
Yeah,
Indiana.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Listen, I'm going to sing a song for you, and it goes like this. Indiana, 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 we're all for you. We will fight for the cream of crimson and the glory of old IU. What do you think about that, brother?
I think Paul Moonshine is pretty close when he told the locker room, wow, that Rex can't sing.
I have a beautiful voice, and Paul Moonshine, maybe he deserved, maybe he had coming, maybe he got coming what he had coming, whatever the phrase is.
I don't know. There's like an entire locker room that's afraid to listen to your voice because they're like, well, Paul said it was brutal, so, you know, who are we to doubt Paul Moonshine?
Listen, Paul Moonshine needs to cut back on the booze, brother. He doesn't understand singing. I'm a professional singer. I get paid money to sing. I was paid thousands and thousands of dollars last year for my singing skills. I sing every week on a podcast. What has he ever done? What does he know about singing? I'm a professional singer.
I tried to tell him that.
Did you tell him I was a professional singer?
Yes, I actually did.
You use those exact words to remind him that I get paid money to sing.
I tried, and he's like, wow, you could have fooled me because that was brutal.
Well,
and then
Paul
everyone
Moonshine,
laughed.
Paul Moonshine can kick some bricks because he's never been paid a dime to sing, brother.
How do you know? What if, like, in 2008, someone paid him to sing at some dive bar in Louisiana someplace?
They didn't.
They might have.
Did he get paid thousands of dollars?
Possibly.
Possibly not, though, too.
Something we'll have to ask him.
Now, I don't know if you noticed the sign guy, but I'm really stalling here and talking about anything else but this show. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I actually did.
Well, the thing is I tried to watch this show, and I couldn't pay attention at all. So I'm not going to have much to say. So we're going to get through it really quick, because it was probably the worst show ever. And I say that a lot, and usually when I say it, I mean it in a way where it's the worst show ever, where there's something to talk about. This show, there's really nothing to talk about.
Well, I got tons to talk about here.
Well, then why don't you hit that music? Take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watch. We transcribe said scene and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. I'm a professional goddamn singer. I shall take the part of Daniel Bryan. Wait, no, I'm not. I got that wrong. Sign guy shall take the part of Daniel Bryan. And I will play the world's worst garbage can scum of the earth human, Brie Bella. And scene.
Vamanos!
Okay, Brian. So, are we going to dance to Blitz and Trapper?
We can. We can dance to whatever you want to dance to, honey. It's your wedding.
Doi doi, it's our wedding.
You keep saying it's your wedding, so I'm going to refer to it as your wedding.
Good. It's my wedding.
Yes.
Yes. You know what I was thinking about? Is Summer.
Okay, if you don't want to invite Summer, then don't invite Summer.
But then I'd feel bad.
I feel like this wedding should be about what we want and not what everyone else wants.
I do too.
Kind of.
Kind of. Like 70% of me?
70%? 30% is worried what people will think?
Damn!
50% is the outrageous expectation Disney has put in your head.
I can't believe I'm about to say this line. Fuck you, Brie Bella, for making me say this. Damn you, Walt Disney! And scene. Sign guy, what the fuck was this?
This was a scene where Brian and Brie got into a Honda Fit, and they were driving to Sedona, California, to decide days before their wedding where, in fact, they should have their wedding, because they didn't have a location. They just sent out invitations saying, we'll figure that out a couple days beforehand. Be prepared to go anywhere. And when they're in the car, Bree wants to dance to the theme of Trapper John M.D. or something, I guess. And Brian was like, well, it's your wedding, so it doesn't really matter to me, because I'm not taking this thing seriously at all anymore. Not a bit. And so, you know, she's like, okay, well, it is my wedding then. I'll own it now. It's all mine, mine, all mine. And Daniel Bryan like, yes, I don't have to do anything now except just show up. He's all happy. And then Bree's like worried, because she kept going back and forth in her head if she really wanted to have Summer at the wedding or not. She had invited Summer, but she wanted to uninvite Summer. And Brian thought of the genius idea of, well, if you don't want her there, don't invite her to the wedding. But, you know, Bree still wanted to please everyone. It's like, what if the office gets mad? What if my sister thinks Summer should be there? What if Summer writes something on Twitter bad about me? I don't know about this. And so she was skeptical. And then Brian pointed out most of the things she's worried about for this wedding and all she's consumed about is all the weddings she saw on the animated Disney movies, which Bree registered as being right, and she got really heated at Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Which was amusing to Brian.
No, let me get in here. I didn't think I could fucking hate this bitch any more than I do. I thought in my heart of hearts that I hated Bree Bella the most I could ever hate a human. Like, I thought, like, there's no way that Bree Bella could ever do anything that would make you hate her more. And then, this fucking woman had the fucking nerve to dare call into question the good name of Walt Disney. Of all people this woman could talk bad about, she decided to slander the name of Walt Disney, America's greatest treasure. The one person on this planet that has only given us good. The one person on this planet who only wanted the best for all of us. He gave us the most glorious gifts known to man. And this fucking woman said, damn him. Damn you, Bree Bella. Damn you to hell. That's Walt Disney. So it didn't make me very happy.
Well, are you also mad at Brian, whom pointed out to her that it was Walt Disney that made her completely unreasonable about everything associated with this wedding?
No, because, and let me explain. Most of the movies that gave her those dreams were made post-Walt Disney's death. Walt Disney didn't have a hand in Beauty and the Beast. Walt Disney didn't have a hand in The Lion King or Little Mermaid or any of those. Walt Disney was up in Snow White. There's no dreams given to little girls in Snow White, except they might hang out with a bunch of fucking midgets. There's no fucking dreams given to any broad watching Cinderella, except they might, you know, fucking, I don't know, hang out with a goddamn dragon. There's no dreams given to any broad watching Sleeping Beauty, except, hey, they might get to take a long nap. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that was necessarily Walt Disney that Daniel Bryan was referencing. He was saying the problem was from some of the later Disney movies that gave her these expectations in her life that were unfulfillable.
Yeah, but he pointed out it was Disney, and Bree was like, well, Walt Disney created Disney, and if there was no Disney, they wouldn't be churning out these movies. Who created the entire empire to begin with? Walt Disney. That is where Brian saw the problem. He's like, well, if Walt Disney hadn't created this world that led to these movies churning out unreasonable expectations of what a real wedding is, you wouldn't be trying to emulate it here and now.
Well, okay, I see your point, and I don't disagree. So Daniel Bryan's going to be in Indianapolis on Thanksgiving, and I'm just going to go spit in his goddamn face. So how about that?
Is that going to be after you ask him about the time we hung out in Lake Forest Park and talked about Jason Ayers, or after?
Yeah, well, it'll be in between asking about that and if he remembers the time I took him to Taco Bell.
That's reasonable.
And then after that, once I get those questions answered and then I get my picture, this, I'm getting ready to walk away, I'll spit in his goddamn face and say, "You for talking bad about Walt Disney, you fuck!" And then I'll walk away. But I'm going to spit in his goddamn face.
Well, you have said this on record, so you have to follow through.
I always follow through with everything I say on record. There's never once in my life been a time where I've said something and not followed through with it.
What about the contest just a few weeks ago when you didn't give out the prizes?
What contest?
The guess what Rex Sharp's grandfather bought at the dollar store contest.
I didn't have to give out prizes because we didn't know what he bought.
Well, you were supposed to find out because you announced the contest.
Well, that was the
what
contest.
What is that? Some sort of QT Vokes contest where you forget the rules and you forget what contest you were running moments after you announced it?
No, you're a QT Vokes contest. So you take that to the bank, brother.
That didn't even make any sense.
Oh, it didn't? Think about it. All right, let's talk about this stupid show. All right, so the person I hated most is Daniel Bryan because he's marrying fucking Brie Bella, and that's pretty much the only reason. If you're fucking dumb enough to marry Brie Bella, then I hate you. But he does say chicks, man, which got it elicited a nice ha from me. So, yeah. How about you?
I had number one on my most hated, and it was hard because almost everyone on this could have been on my top three.
Garbage
I struggled
show.
Mightily, erased right, but I went with Brie Bella because she
yes.
was just so Ugh. Contradicting herself to everything
Ugh.
She's said in previous episodes and in future episodes for this one episode.
Ugh.
It just infuriated me. And then to top it all off, her entire reason for being upset with her sister for this week was her sister was making her go perform her contracted duties for her employment rather than go to California. And a week before her wedding, figure out where to hold the wedding. Because in Brie Bella's mind, they really should have cleared with maybe a couple of days' notice if WrestleMania was going to be convenient for her, or if they should hold off having it later in the year. Maybe if they should cancel it outright to give her more time to pick a place for the wedding. She's like, no, I'm going to go to California and pick out where I'm going to have the wedding because... My wedding is a week after WrestleMania because I decided to upstage WWE this year. They can't do this to me. I'm Brie Bella. How dare they tell me I have to be in the city where WrestleMania is being held with all of these WrestleMania activities to be in the opening video for the biggest show of the year. It's not convenient. They should have checked with me days ago because,
yes.
you know, I didn't have the foresight to already have my entire wedding set a week ahead of time. I have to throw this all together days before when I know WrestleMania a year in advance will be on this date. That infuriated me to no end. I was livid when it first aired. I went into convulsions. There was foam coming out of my mouth when it first aired. I was nearly that livid rewatching it. I
yeah.
wanted to fly out and just punch her in the nose. Like she's like, they can't tell us to go there early because I'm going to find out where to have a wedding. Because, you know, the people that I invited will want to know what state and what city to go to, and I better decide that a week in advance. So all these people she's invited from all over the country, they had to buy their airline tickets.
Yes.
At the most expensive time to buy airline tickets because she didn't have a set place to tell them to go.
And let me interject here about this wedding bullshit where she's, you know, planning her wedding. And this fucking woman, this fucking narcissist dares to say that she's a simple kind of woman. That she could just get married right now in that dress and those boots and those trees. She's just simple. Yet she wants to spend $5,000 goddamn more dollars on her wedding. And spend $120,000. And she wants to pull out all these trees that have been growing for who knows how many decades just out of the fucking earth to somehow make her wedding look a little more presentable to her, just pulling trees just to have what she called a neat wedding. Just getting a backhoe, digging up these possible redwoods. I don't know what they were. And she just wanted to get rid of these trees. This environmental, simple woman just wanted to get rid of every goddamn tree for a goddamn idiot wedding just so her grandma can have a porta potty to go shit in. Ah!
Well, see, she was using $5,000 as an example. She was going to spend way more than $5,000. She just threw that out as like, oh, if only, you know, I had spent that. She's thinking in the future, what if I thought to myself, if only I spent $5,000 more. I was an example. She was going to spend probably close to six figures more on this because they were going to have to take out all the trees and put them back if she chose the one location.
Ugh.
And they still wouldn't have a place to take a dump at that location. They were going to have to rent dozens of porta potties, but she was willing to do it. And she kept coming up with more and more and more stuff that she absolutely had to have for this wedding. And then she rented this cottage. It cost $709 before tax.
Mm-hmm.
Tax in California, very high. So it was probably close to $900 a night.
Ugh.
And she was like, oh, we have to have it. It's my wedding. It wasn't even her wedding for another week.
No.
She was going to spend two nights there to look at places where they could possibly hold a wedding. So they were basically there, you know, to say, oh, let's just have it right here. And then they were going back the following week, but she told her fiance, oh, it's just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And he called her out on it, and he said, no, we're coming back here next week. She couldn't take the $275 room. She had to have, like, the cottage, her own little cottage where no one else was around. But, you know, $5,000 more. She was just telling Brian that, knowing she was going to spend like another $100,000. She's like, well, if he thinks it's only $5,000, he won't care as much. It was like Natty and TJ, where Natty's like, oh, it'll cost this much to fix the house, when in reality she knows for a fact it's going to cost four times as much, but she doesn't want to tell him that in case he doesn't want to spend the money. She's like, well, if I tell him a low price and then he'll think I'm spending the low price, he won't figure out that I've spent like $20,000 more. Because, you know, all these broads think that men are extremely stupid. They're like, he'll never figure out there's $30,000 missing that he wasn't accounting for.
Ugh. So, the other person I hated was not so much a person as it was a dog. I hated Josie the goddamn dog. Watching that fucking dog lick Daniel Bryan's nose just right up in his nostril for 10 minutes straight was just absolutely goddamn horrible. Just this little shitty dog just licking up in his nostril, getting all his fucking snot and boogers, and he's just giggling. As this disgusting-ass dog who probably moments before had been digging in its asshole with that tongue, is just digging around in this fellow's nose. It was horrible. It was wretched. People that let their dogs lick their goddamn faces and like it are the worst. And dogs that do it are even worse. So I hated Josie the dog.
Poor Josie.
You didn't like Josie.
I did after that scene. I did not like the first scene with Josie.
So you liked watching the dog lick his goddamn nose for 10 minutes?
No, I said after that.
You liked
after
it.
That. I did not
why
care
did
for
like
the nostril
scene?
Digging.
Why would they? Why would he let the dog do that?
Because he was proving a point to Brie Bella that he would rather the dog stick its tongue up his nose than to have that chemical she was trying to wipe on his face. All kinds of toxic chemicals. That's why. But the part I liked about Josie was when Brie was like, Josie, do you want to go see the ranch? And the dog took off running like, no, I want no part of this at all. And Brian's being dragged along. He's like, Josie doesn't want to go to the ranch. Josie was smarter than any of them. The dog was like, I don't want any part of this because this broad's nuts. Maybe if I run away, they'll pick no place, and I don't have to be dressed up in a tuxedo sitting next to Natty Neidhart's cat, who's also dressed in a tuxedo. And then it tried to kill an emu.
Mm-hmm. Now, who else did you hate?
Number two on my list, and I almost put him at number one. I really wanted to, but Brie Bella dictated that I put her at number one, but number two I had Steve. Yes, he was dead awful. I hated Steve. I hated every fiber of Steve. Hated him.
Which
did
one
not
was
like Steve at all.
Who's Steve?
He was the guy that was in California. When they got there, he comes running up and he's like, Brie, so nice that you could come. And she went to shake his hand, and he just, like, pulls her in. He's like, give me a hug. And he's, like, filling up Daniel Bryan's fiance right in front of him. A woman he's never met before in his life.
Is Daniel Bryan a cuckold?
Yes. And he's never met her before in his life. He'd only had a couple phone conversation with her. And he's sitting there just filling her up, like, let's have this really inappropriate embrace. And maybe Daniel Bryan will leave, and then you and I can get married, and you will be married to me, Steve, the caretaker of this ranch.
Well, I don't like
anyone.
You may
well call him Stompin' Steve, the ranch caretaker.
I don't like any goddamn fella that tries to make another guy a cuckold. I mean, if the guy wants to be a cuckold, that's one thing. But if you're trying to force a guy to be a cuckold, I don't like you. So fuck that. I'm with you, sign guy.
And then they're looking at this property, and he's like, oh, you have several choices to choose from with our property. You have the middle lawn, the front lawn, and the back lawn. It's one big lawn. Get your pick, front, middle, or back. And he's like, in the one, there's emus. When Brie Bella's mother called to give her take on the places, which Brie obviously didn't believe her own mother because she went personally to check them out, not believing her own mother, which wasted a few days of her mother's time. She's like, huh, emus? What was it? Oh, yeah. They took massive dumps all over the lawn, so we'd be walking all over it. She's like, I like the one with the emus in it. Maybe they'll follow me. Maybe this violent bird will chase my grandmother around this lawn and peck at her. Because it's a wild bird with aggressive tendencies. Aren't emus pretty aggressive?
Yes. I can verify this. When I was a young child, I went to the zoo.
Are we talking like five or under?
I think it was probably under. I'm not sure how much under, but it was definitely under five. Probably three, I would imagine. We went to the Indianapolis Zoo. My mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, me, possibly my sister, though I don't know if she was alive yet. And there was a goddamn emu there, and it fucking bit my dad's hand, and he was bleeding. They're fucking violent creatures. They're horrible. My dad,
and
though.
Yet,
no,
yet
but
they wanted these emus at the wedding,
let
mixed
me say
amongst
that.
All
hey,
the wedding guests.
in fairness to the emu, my dad was teasing it and calling it names like, hey, you stupid long neck. Hey, why's your neck so long? Like, hey, bird, why can't you fly like a real bird, you piece of shit? My dad was just taunting.
He was body shaming a bird?
Yeah, he's just like, hey, bird, hey, fly away. And then the bird couldn't, and then the bird bit him.
So what would happen if he met up with Larry Bird? Would he try that with Larry Bird? Larry Bird just punch him right in the nose and say,
oh,
I can fly on a private jet.
Hold on. We've got a special guest.
Hello? Sign guy?
Yes.
Hey, it's
Seth. Seth, is that you?
It's me. I had to interject with an emu story, too. The first time I took Maggie, me and Rex's, our youngest daughter, to the Indianapolis Zoo, she got bit by an emu, too, because she was trying to poke it in its beak with her finger, and it bit her finger when she was probably a year old or so.
Why did she poke the emu in the beak?
She was a year old, and she wasn't making good decisions with her life at that point in time. But
you can't blame an emu for that. I wouldn't want to be poked in my beak.
It runs in the family, though. We all have people getting bit by emus.
Now, if you were having a wedding, and your choices were you could have it in the middle, the front, or the back part of this lawn, the middle lawn contained few dozen emus and then maybe a couple hundred geese, which are also aggressive, would you pick that part of the lawn to put your wedding guests, which included both very young children and elderly people?
No, I wouldn't pick anywhere that had any sort of birds at all to have my wedding, because birds are horrible creatures.
Except for Sue Bird, who is tremendous.
I'll have to trust you on that one, but I wouldn't want to. I don't like to go outside if I don't have to at all, but I don't like animals of any sort, really, and I definitely don't like birds, so I wouldn't want to be around any of that nonsense.
I don't blame you there.
Yeah.
I think it was a wrong decision on Brie Bella's part. One of many, many, many bad ones this episode.
Yeah, well, she has a history of making bad decisions, so. All right, well, here, you can have Rex back. I just needed to interject with that emu story.
That was a great emu story.
All right, well, I'll talk to you guys later.
That was a great story.
All right, and I want to say, I'm going on record right here. The next time I see a motherfucking emu, I'm going to spit right in its goddamn face. I don't care if it's a male emu. I don't care if it's a female emu. I don't care if it's a dead emu. I don't care what it is. I'm going to spit right in its goddamn face and let it know that I have no respect for it. Not a single iota of respect for a goddamn emu.
That's kind of racist, isn't it?
What is racist about that? An emu's not a fucking human.
No, but it's a race of bird.
It is not a race of bird. It's a species.
It is a race of bird. It's the very definition of a race of bird.
It's a species.
It's a species of a race of bird.
It's a genus.
They might be a genus, but that's kind of racist.
It is not racist to hate an emu.
It is.
No, you are very mistaken. You can hate anything you want. It doesn't matter. I can hate. I was almost taken into beast territory there.
Wow. I think maybe he's rubbing off on you a bit.
Okay. Species, genus, family, order, class, phylum, kingdom. Not a fucking thing of that has to do with race. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Boom. Fuck you, emu.
Kind of racist against emus.
It's not racist because there's not a race.
It's a race of birds.
It is not a race. There is no such thing as a race of birds. And
yeah,
it comes
is.
To animals. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Boom, not race.
Race is right up there.
You're a racist. against intelligence.
That's not a race. That's a state of being.
So the fucking emus, who else did you hate?
Well, number three on my list. Well, I didn't say the emus. I said Steve.
Yeah, I know, but the emus too. So who else?
It wasn't the emu so much as Steve, because Steve was just creepy stalkerish.
You
might as well put stomping at the start of his name. Now,
you hate the emus too.
Not so much the emus. It was more the idiot that wanted to have the wedding in the middle of the bunch of emus. But number three, I had Natty. Now,
all right.
Natty, this episode, she started out all right, because, you know, Nikki Bella called her, and she's like, I don't trust you because you're a blabbermouth. Did you tell anyone about my previous marriage? And Natty's like, I didn't say a word about it yet, but John's going to figure it out eventually because I'm going to tell him. That didn't bother me.
Yeah.
They get to television. Mark Carano calls him in. And he's like, hey, Natty, how's the cat? And she's like, Cat Fancy wants to do a spread on him. Isn't that fantastic?
What a liar.
Cat Fancy had never called her back. She said in a future episode, they ignored her emails and she couldn't understand it. There is no ever any contact with her and Cat Fancy where Cat Fancy indicated they wanted to do a spread on her pussycat. None. But yet there she is telling Mark Carano, like Mark Carano was going to be like, oh, I better call Vince. We have to put the Divas title on you right away because your cat's going to be in Cat Fancy. That's not what was happening. But yet, you know, that's how she was acting. She's like, oh, Mark Carano will want to put the Divas title on me at WrestleMania because my cat's going to be in Cat Fancy, and all of our audience obviously reads every issue of Cat Fancy religiously and in detail. And then they get to the airport, and Trinity's like, oh, well, maybe I'll win the Divas title at WrestleMania. And now he's like, maybe we can share it. Like, they're going to do that. They're really like, well, we want Trinity to win the title because she mocked Sign Guy with a broken face. But Natty's cat's going to be in Cat Fancy. We can't miss out on that. We'll just let you share it. They've never done that with the Broads title, never. There was no possibility at that WrestleMania that either of them was going to come anywhere close to that title. Not a chance. It was painfully obvious to the most dense of fans.
Which must
were out of the running. They were not going to get into the title mix at all.
Well, did you like anyone on this episode?
Yes, but I'm not done with Natty. And
then they
get to the fan access. And Eva Marie's like, oh, I'm nervous because this is my first WrestleMania that wasn't last year. Which made no sense. But Natty's like, oh, well, yeah, there's going to be 60,000 people watching you and millions around the world, and we're going to video it. So if you make the tiniest of errors at all, it's all everyone on planet Earth will be talking about for the rest of eternity through all of time. But you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Still, you know, she's like trying to make Eva Marie worry about it because she wanted her to screw up for no apparent reason.
This is very true. Anything else about Natty?
I didn't like how she made, like, her point of how she gets scared and it's all right to be scared when the loudest buzzer on an elevator in recorded history was going on, so it drowned out everything she was trying to say that would have eased Eva Marie's mind just a little bit.
Very true. Very true. Now,
I also hated that buzzer.
That buzzer was no good. Oh, that was bad.
She's like, let me tell you something so you'll feel better.
Buzz!
It's like, doesn't that make you feel better?
Hey, what's a bee sound like?
Buzz.
Bees sting you. That was a little fun inside joke for Beth. My wife. My wife. So let's go. Who'd you like? Let's get this done. Jesus Christ.
Number three, I had Brad Maddox, just because Beast would have wanted it that way.
Mad Braddox. Okay. Who else?
Number two, I had Kathy Colas. Now, Kathy Colas, this episode, we started out back at the house of JJ, rehashing the whole thing of, oh, I forgot to tell you for 10 years when I was married. And Kathy Colas just sitting there. She's like, well, I'd rather be anywhere else. Anywhere else. Doesn't matter where.
Yeah.
I'd take it. She didn't say anything. She didn't flip out. She didn't take sides. She just sat there, took it. And then when they went dress shopping, and, you know, she was like, oh, I'll help, you know, Bree with opinions on the dress and tell her how it looks and if I think anything needs to be done to alter it. But instead, her daughters were just screaming profanities at each other in the middle of this dress shop. Because one of them can't believe that her employer would require her presence on their biggest event that they promote every year to highlight her.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
That's
so they get
crazy
into this shouting match, and you see Kathy Colas just saying, hey, Lauren, do you think we could slip out the back and be unnoticed? Lauren's like, I don't know, but we should try it. And they just stood there frozen. They wanted to leave, but they could not.
Mm-hmm.
Could not. And then Kathy Colas goes to California for her daughter, which she shouldn't have, because then Bree's like, well, I don't believe a word you say. I'm going to go and do it myself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which she could have done from the start, because apparently she had the time after WrestleMania to do this. So, you know, it
very true.
Definitely had the time because she did it. But she sends poor Kathy Colas out, and Kathy Colas is like, yeah, one of them has a bunch of emus in it. One of them, there's no restroom, and I'm afraid, you know, most of your guests are not going to be able to hold it for a couple of hours while you get married, because it's a mile and a half away from the nearest facilities. And Bree's like, oh, we'll just tell them to go before. Because, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, little kids and elderly people will be like, sure, I can wait 2 or 3 hours. Not a problem. I'll walk the mile and a half if I have to. Kathy Colas knew it was a problem. She tried to warn Bree Bella. She tried her best. And then they get to New Orleans. And she's walking around with JJ. They meet up with the twins. Kathy Colas just wanted a simple cup of coffee. Just a cup of coffee. Maybe a bagel. Maybe a muffin. Didn't get either of them because Bree's like, let's walk. And she just like ushered them out the door before they had a chance to order anything. But there's Bree with her venti coffee. Nikki with her venti coffee. Kathy Colas got nothing. Got nothing. They didn't care that she was thirsty or hungry.
Well, there was one person I liked this episode. Only one.
Is it Brad Maddox?
No. It was a split-second shot of rapper Wiz Khalifa in the crowd cheering for the shitty women's wrestling match that happened. That's it. Just Wiz Khalifa going, yeah! And then I was done. That was the only person I liked. Everyone else I didn't like. So there you go.
Was that the guy that no-sold a powerbomb?
No, that was Machine Gun Kelly. Wiz Khalifa has, like, rapped at the shows before, but he has never been attacked or anything.
Yeah. And he's the Great Khali's cousin, right?
Yes, sure. I don't think so.
I think he is, or they wouldn't have named him Wizard Khali.
Wiz Khalifa. Khalifa.
Man, your English is brutal, but okay.
Khalifa. It's more of a Muslim name, you know.
Sure it is.
Khalifa, yeah. Well, let's look up the origins of Khalifa real quick. Yeah, it's a, it refers to a successor or steward. It's, of Islamic origin. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, who else did you like? You got one left, I believe.
Joe Hickey.
He was in there? I didn't see him. Where was he?
He was a prominent fixture in there. He was
sitting at the table.
You need to pay attention more often. He was sitting at a table in a meeting with John Cena. They were going over the next run of merchandise,
which were
going to include a T-shirt, probably some wristbands, a cap, and maybe a towel. And Joe Hickey was trying to get this merch out. He was wanting to just show John Cena some merch when Nikki Bella drugged John Cena away to tell him she had been previously married. And then when he's like, okay, you drug me away from Joe Hickey in this important merchandising meeting, which means several hundreds of millions of dollars to the company and myself, what's so important? She's like, hi. And Joe Hickey's just sitting there. His time's being wasted. He could be designing the next Dolph Ziggler T-shirt, where he could be designing a brand new Booker T hat. But no, he's just sitting there waiting for John Cena to finish up with Nikki Bella, who can't bring herself to say, hey, you know how you were previously married? Same goes with me. Couldn't say that. Had to waste everyone's time. But Joe Hickey, he just stood there like a professional that he is.
Yes.
And he waited. He waited for John Cena. He didn't disappear. You could clearly see him just sitting there, waiting.
Always waiting. Because why?
He's just there to show merchandise.
That's all he's there for. The saddest thing about the WWE's ban on their talent being on all these other shows is that we'll never get Joe Hickey on the show again.
What if he were to, you know, retire? Then he could come on.
I hope he will. So, Sign Guy, what's going on this coming week? Let's wrap this up. I got to go watch It's Always Sunny.
It's not always sunny. Sometimes it's Lita. Sometimes it's Trish Stratus.
In Philadelphia. Mae
Young was inducted in the Hall of Fame once. It's not always sunny.
In Philadelphia, it is.
No, it's not, because they only did the Hall of Fame there like once. And I don't even think that's where Sunny was inducted.
Yeah, I know where it's going to be sunny. No.
Can you look up where Sonny was inducted?
No.
Really?
Nope.
But you looked up emus.
I'll look up emus any day, but I'm not looking up Sonny. I wrote a song about her once, and then she was happy about it. It's about riding the beast with her at King's Island.
That's sick. That's
so
just disgusting.
What do you have going on?
Well, trying to scrub the image of you and Sonny on the beast, or mini beast. You're probably going to have to grow up with that. But Friday on the show, scheduled to have Moose Morrow, but I believe instead we're going to have Buddy Highway, because Moose never did confirm with me. So Buddy Highway waiting in the wings. Then Sunday we have Muddy Waters from Delaware. We were supposed to have him on Turnbuckle a couple of months ago. Had to reschedule. The rescheduled date is nearly upon us now.
All right. Anything else?
I've been trying this Bigelow's Constant Comet tea.
Yeah, is it good?
It's not bad. It's a black tea with a bit of spice in it. It's not bad for a Bigelow.
I don't like tea.
None of it?
I'd rather just drink water. I don't need a bunch of dirty leaves tossed in it.
Then how come you picked a sweet tea to go with your fish dinner two episodes ago?
I didn't.
You did.
I had to pick. I had to pick one. If I had a choice of anything, I would pick the water.
But you picked sweet tea.
I'm gonna pick your face off. All right, let's end this. Next week, Craig Roper, he'll be here maybe. So until then, sign guy, brush and floss twice a day, and listen to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, maybe three times. Later. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Ba-ba-da-da.